From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And we begin today with a Democratic Speaker of the Illinois House of Representatives, Emmanuel Chris Welch. Despite the setbacks Democrats faced nationally, which we saw here in Illinois manifested in the smaller margin of victory for Vice President Kamala Harris, Democrats maintain supermajorities in the state, House, and Senate. Ballot counting continues. There are a few races that could still be affected. On Friday afternoon, I had the chance to talk with Speaker Welch about the direction of the party and what's ahead in the Illinois General Assembly as veto session gets underway today. Because of that, no calls in this part of the show, but you can always let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. Speaker Welch, welcome back to the 21st Show. Let's start with the big picture results. Why do you think more American voters chose Trump over Harris?
Well, I mean, obviously in every election, you're going to have lessons learned. And whether you win or lose, you're going to have lessons learned. And I think even by his performance in Illinois, but definitely by his performance across the country, we have to take the message that voters' concern about the cost of living were real. The focus on the economy is extremely important. And people believed in his vision more than they believed in ours. And we have to take note of that and address that. But I will tell you, at least here in Illinois, I'm thankful for the fact that our message was received because clearly the work that we have done in the Illinois House, we were able to protect the Great 78. Every single incumbent member of the House won their election. And I'm proud of that because that's one of our goals, was to protect the Illinois Democratic majority going into what we knew was going to be a very tough national environment. We also knew going in that every single time Donald Trump was on the ballot, Illinois Democrats lost seats in the House. In 2016, we lost four or five seats in the House, and in 2020, we lost one. And so I'm proud that we protected every single one of the Great 78. And I know that our message on the economy, because of the record that our members were able to point to, resonated here in Illinois. But I think we can do better nationally, Brian.
Well, so yeah, you mentioned Illinois. Vice President Harris did significantly worse than President Biden and Secretary Hillary Clinton. They both defeated Trump by 17 points. Harris is only up by 8 points, even though some counting is still going on. And you mentioned that Democrats, of course, will retain their supermajority in the Illinois House. But back in August, you told Politico you thought House Dems might be able to pick up four, maybe even six seats. So to what do you attribute what did Democrats not understand about the electorate this year?
Well, Brian, let me say this. Our goal is always to defend the seats that we have. Let's be first and foremost about that. And we accomplished that despite a very challenging national environment. And I'm not going to allow anyone to not be proud of that. That's a proud fact because of the national environment that we were in. We also built very competitive races in communities Republicans have held for decades, safe Republican seats. And as I talk to you, three of those races are still too close to call right now. And we very well may still pick up one, two, or all three of those seats based on the way Democrats are performing in mail-in voting. We have to count every ballot. And we know already, just by the ballots that are being counted, every time mail-in ballots are reported, we're picking up votes. And we initially saw in the summer that we could possibly pick up four to six. Later, we adjusted that prediction to possibly two to four. As we talk right now, in an environment where Democrats had a tough time nationally, we're still sitting here where the Illinois House Democrats could pick up two to four seats based on what we see here in the last week or two of counting those mail-in ballots. We had a very successful election, Brian. We protected the Great 78, and we still have a possibility of picking up one, two, or three seats.
And I should mention, for listeners' sake, we are talking on Friday afternoon, November 8th. And as you mentioned, the election authorities have up to 2 weeks to count ballots that might come in by mail, as long as they're postmarked by Election Day. Looking bigger picture again, to what extent do you think last Tuesday's results are driven by Democratic policy, failures of Democratic policy, as opposed to problems of messaging, meeting the voters where they are?
Well, you're talking about national politics, because I'm going to talk to you about Illinois politics as the Speaker of the House with my number one objective of protecting the Great 78. Clearly, we're doing something right here in Illinois. They clearly heard us when we said we were going to protect reproductive freedom. We did that. We also were able to show them the work that we've done from an economic sense. We were able to show them that we reined in the cost of health care, expand access to child care, stop the rising cost of everyday essentials by cracking down on junk fees. We eliminated the grocery tax. There's a lot of things that our members were able to talk about at the doors that resonated with voters. And maybe that's something that on a national level, we need to do more of. Maybe folks need to look at Illinois as a model on how do you communicate with voters. And I will tell you, it starts with listening to them, listening to the voters, knowing what they're talking about, knowing what they're concerned about, and addressing those concerns. If we do that as a party, we will win the next election. If we don't, we won't. It's that simple. And what we saw on Tuesday, November 5th, voters did not believe Democrats were listening to them.
Do you think that is the party too focused in some ways, or, and maybe not even just the party, but the entire sort of progressive world focused on cultural issues as opposed to kitchen table, bread and butter economic issues?
Well, again, in Illinois, I think we clearly got it right. When we protected every seat in the House, we protected every seat in the Senate. We flipped a traditionally red county in McLean from Republican to Democrat. Republicans lost the state's attorney's race in Lake County. Eric Reinhart was reelected, and at the end of the day, I do think at the end of the day, you can contribute Trump's performance in Illinois and across the country to voters' concerns about the cost of living. Those concerns are real. We can't ignore that. If we do ignore that, we're going to continue to lose seats. We're going to continue to lose elections, particularly on the national level. And so we have to continue to focus on that and address these economic concerns.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're beginning our program today with Illinois Speaker of the House, Emmanuel Chris Welch, as the legislature returns to Springfield this week for veto session. And on that note, California Governor Gavin Newsom called a special session of that state's legislature next month to basically focus on, in his words, Trump-proofing the state's laws. We heard Governor J.B. Pritzker saying that Trump will have to go through him. There is veto session coming up in Illinois, although no actual vetoes to consider this year. What are you and other Illinois Democratic leaders looking at in regard to what may be coming from President-elect Trump's second term?
Well, I will tell you, one of the things I'm proud about is, and proud to be an Illinoisan for, is the work we've already done in this space. In 2019, we passed the Reproductive Health Act. In 2022, we put workers' rights in our Constitution. In 2023, we strengthened the Reproductive Health Act. And so we've already done a lot of things that make Illinois a beacon, not just in the Midwest, but across the country. But you know, we started having conversations before the November 5th election because of the possibility of a Trump presidency. And certainly those conversations have intensified since his reelection. And so those conversations are happening. But Brian, I want to underscore something. The work ahead of us is bigger than Donald Trump, and it's not going to be done or solved in a 2-week veto session. The House that is returning for veto session and the House that will take office in January, we're committed to defending the rights of Illinoisans every time we show up. And we're also committed to controlling costs for families every time we show up. We're committed to rebuilding our fiscal house and ensuring everyone who wants to work hard has a chance to get ahead. And those are the things we're going to focus on in the veto session in January and beyond that, because I just think that that's what the voters have sent us to do.
I am wondering, though, because there could really be some federal-state friction coming up. Let's say, for example, Trump federalizes the Illinois National Guard and orders them to begin rounding up migrants who do not have legal permission to be in America, undocumented people. How does Illinois respond to that? How should Illinois respond to that?
Well, that's a hypothetical that I certainly don't know how to address, because I certainly hope that something like that doesn't occur. The only thing I can say is that we're going to continue to have conversations with the governor, with the Senate president, with our respective caucuses. And under our leadership, we've already proven that Illinois is a place that believes in freedoms and protects people. And we're going to continue to be a place that people can count on. We're not just a beacon in the Midwest, we're a beacon in the country. I can't predict what Donald Trump will do. We know what he said. We know what he said he would do. But we have to continue to have conversations with everyone and come to alignment on what we're going to do to continue to try to move this state.
What about women who are of reproductive age? As you mentioned, Illinois has passed a number of pieces of legislation in recent years, sort of seeking to protect abortion rights, other reproductive health care rights. But if Republicans nationally try to go after those, pass a national abortion ban is one example that's been discussed. Maybe they just get the post office to seize shipments of the morning after pill and prevent medication abortion from being delivered through the mail, which is the most common form of abortion these days. How does Illinois respond?
Well, again, that's a hypothetical that, you know, I don't know how to address specifically. Other than the fact that Illinois already has done a lot to protect women's reproductive health, really proud of the work we've done around the Reproductive Health Act. If there's other things that we need to do, we'll figure out what we need to do and get it done. I'm very confident of that. But I tell you what, if your hypothetical were to come true, Brian, that would be Republicans being tone deaf. Abortion rights were on the agenda in several states across the country. And I believe in all but two of them, abortion rights were protected. And so if they do something like that, that's not listening to the voters. That's actually ignoring the voters. And I think they would pay a price at the ballot box for that. Every single Democrat in the Illinois House ran on abortion rights, and every single Democrat was reelected. And I'm going to tell you, that's an issue that's very important to voters.
I do want to spend some time, we only have a few minutes remaining, but last week, the Governor's Office of Management and Budget put out its annual report on the state's finances, and it predicted a budget shortfall of $3.2 billion, billion with a B, for the next fiscal year, which begins July 1st. It's a pretty drastic increase from the $900 million deficit state government had to deal with last year. As the work to create a new budget begins for the General Assembly next year, what options are on the table for dealing with this potential shortfall?
Well, Brian, let me answer the question this way, you know, because I've been really proud of the work that we've done on the budget since I've been speaker. We've balanced the budget every year I've been speaker. In some of those years, we have had grim forecasts, just like we do now. And we've still managed to produce budgets with surpluses, additional payments to our pension obligations, and credit rating upgrades. I think we're at 9 so far. So I fully expect the General Assembly that takes office in January will approach the next budget with the same responsible approach of going line by line, weighing priorities and making smart decisions for our future like we've done the last 4 years. In my calls with my caucus members the last couple of days, many of them, I've lost count, talked about the budget work ahead. Their sleeves are rolled up. They're ready to get to work. They're ready to do it in a responsible and compassionate way.
Last thing I want to ask you about, we have talked on this program a number of times now about, I think it's 25 counties at this point, voters have approved some sort of referendum saying that Chicago, Cook County, maybe the entire Chicagoland area, I don't remember the exact language, should become a separate state and downstate Illinois would become the 51st state. People, even people who support it, we talked to somebody from the Madison County Board who supports this and said it's more symbolic because he feels like Democrats aren't responsive to the concerns of their voters. How do you respond to this idea that Democrats have steamrolled? And certainly we've seen the success of the map has made it very difficult for Republicans to make inroads and represent their constituents in the way they would choose to.
Well, listen, Democrats represent folks all over the state. We have to listen to their concerns and try to address their concerns. We have to try to be unifiers and not dividers. And I love to continue to listen to those folks. Illinois is a great state to live, work, and play. If there are some things that we're not doing that they think we should be doing, I love to hear from them. I'm Speaker of the House. I'm not Speaker of the Democrats. If if there's a concern they'd like to address, call the speaker's office, set up an appointment, and come talk with me. We're here to help the entire state, and the things that Democrats have done, especially since I've been speaker the last 4 years, have helped every single corner of this state. And if there's more things we can do, I want to do that. We're playing an infinite game, and we want to make this state better each and every day we go to work. And so if there's some things, some ideas that people think we need to make it better, I'd love to hear from them.
House Speaker Chris Welch, thank you for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Brian, thank you for always having me. I appreciate you.
Coming up after the break, we'll speak with Roslyn LaPierre, an Indigenous writer, environmental historian, and ethnobotanist. She's also a professor at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. We're going to talk with her about the election and about President Biden's recent apology to Native Americans for the boarding school system that tore apart so many families many years ago. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.